Nothing but. Net, querying Salesforce objects with Force.com toolkit for. Net, the second and third posts in this series, focused on the newly available open source Force.com toolkit for .NET. The toolkit allows you to easily interact with the Force.com and Chatter REST APIs using native libraries. In the previous posts, I went over what you needed to know to install the toolkits and authenticate to your org. In this post, I will go over things you need to know to query Salesforce objects with a toolkit. Creating the Force client. When a user successfully logs in using either one of the supported authentication methods, web server or username password, they will be returned a valid instance URL, access token, and API version. In the web server auth flow sample application, available on GitHub, these values are then stored in the view bag. Depending on your application's architecture, you could also store these values as in session variables. Either way, they need to be stored somewhere because all three are needed to instantiate the Force client object. The Force client object is used to send authorized requests to the server, and it can be created with code such as the following. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. Querying objects. Once the client has been created, you can query objects using a valid SQL statement and the query async method. Just make sure that your query statement only returns the properties you need. At the most basic level, results can be returned with a generic object type. For example, a query to return the name and description of 10 accounts could be performed using the following code. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. This will return results that can then be serialized into JSON and returned to the client, such as how it is done in the web server auth flow sample application. Alternatively, I could use the dynamic keyword to return an object whose operations are resolved only at runtime. I could then loop through the results and access properties, even though I never defined them anywhere, using code such as this. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. While the code above will compile successfully, if I accidentally mistype one of the property names, I will not discover this error until runtime. Of course, I can avoid this by returning the data as a strongly typed object. The only issue is that I am responsible for declaring the object type. Unlike working with the SOAP API, where I have a WSDL that gives me access to all the Salesforce metadata, I have to define any metadata types I want to return. I can do this by creating a class object to represent the account such as the following. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. My query could also utilize the query result object, and if I wanted to return all the accounts, the code would look like the following. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. One of the advantages to using the query result is I can check the value of the next records URL field to see if my query returns more than one batch of account records. If it is not null, then I would access the remaining records using the query continuation async method. To see a full example of what I described above, refer to the simple console sample application that is available on the GitHub website. What about relationship queries? Another advantage to using query result is that doing so allows you to access data within relationship queries or subqueries. For example, let's say I wanted to access contact records along with the account data. I could do this by first adding a class definition for the contacts, such as this. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. And then change my account class definition to look like the following. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. The code to query account and contact records would then look like this. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. The results returned from this query will include all the child contact records for each account. You can then loop through the results, easy peasy, using something like the following. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. The Force.com toolkit is a great addition to the set of tools that Salesforce offers to .NET developers. And the best part is that it is all open source, so we all have a chance to contribute to its development. I encourage anyone working with .NET and Salesforce to check it out and report any issues or suggestions you have to the GitHub website. In the next post for this series, I will go through what you need to know to create, update and delete Salesforce objects using the Force.com toolkit. Stay tuned. Editor's note, this is the fourth post in our blog series Nothing But Net. Sarah Morgan, our resident expert, is an independent software developer and longtime .NET programmer who has recently been wooed into the world of Force.com development. She recently filmed her first introductory course covering Visual Force for Lynda.com.